I mean, you're gonna have that song stuck in your head the rest of the day. You might have that song. Okay, there you go. That'd be harder than I know you would. You'd have that song stuck in your head the rest of the day. As you remember that song, hopefully you're thinking of the journey, that life is a highway. We're on a journey, and we're talking about this. We're going to continue today. And as we continue about this journey, I'm going to welcome all those who are listening via the internet. I know we'll have several this week listening because of the weather. I was not able to be here today. And so we welcome all those who were not able to be here and are listening on the internet. I welcome my mom and dad who finally got a computer and internet. Mom and dad, don't listen to me today. Welcome to the year 2010. Really, we do. We welcome you today. We've got about a foot of snow last night, and so I know a lot of people weren't able to make it, so we just welcome all those who are listening to this through the internet. We're going to continue in our journey series that we started a couple weeks ago, and we're going to talk about this thought of being close to God. But let's look at our stages again. We talked about a survey that was done with over 520 churches. We're basically learning that there's four types of people who come to church. The first group is the people who are just exploring God. Realize these are people who are just checking church out. Is maybe God for me? Maybe is he not? But they're really checking out. They're exploring what God is about. What's the next group? Anybody know what that is? Beginning in God. Yeah. You guys are real quick to say the answer once the answers are on there, right? But exploring in God, beginning in God. And what's the next group? Close to God, right. Close to God. And then the last group is those who are God-centered. Right. God-centered, Christ-centered. Exploring God, beginning in God, close to God, and God-centered. And really, all of us can fit somewhere in this category, in one of these categories. Our journey is really centered around being in one of these particular areas. And we know that the gap to get from one area to the other, first of all, we see that the bridge is through what? Grace. And we realize that grace, what? It's grace that we are saved. It's still the foundation that leads us from exploring God to beginning our relationship with him. And we should never lose that foundation that we are only here by grace. We are only saved by grace. We only have right standing with God by grace. We're only called children of God by grace. It's nothing that we earn. It's nothing we can do on our own. But we are saved by grace. No matter how good we are, we try to be, we can never be good enough. No matter how many good things we can do, we can never do a good enough things. Enough things, enough works to justify our salvation. It only comes through grace. And when we realize that and we admit it and we accept it and we move from exploring God to our beginning, a walk in the Lord. And what really last week and this week that we're going to focus on is really the Word of God. It's the Word of God that takes us from beginning in God to becoming close to God. That's the foundation. And we realized last week we talked about the different types. Remember talking about preschool and junior elementary and junior high and high school and college and really how those things really enter those areas that we, our knowledge of the Bible and how it grows. And the more that we grow in our knowledge of the Bible, the more we mature. Not just knowledge, but application, how we know the Word of God and we apply it to our life. And we are learning that it's God's Word that becomes alive in my heart, that takes me from beginning in God to drawing close to him. And it's also that takes me from being close to God to being God-centered is this bridge that we have called giving. That giving of our life, giving of everything we have belongs to the Lord. When we realize this, that he is the owner, I am the manager, that my life is God's to give away, that I become a God-centered person. And so these are the bridges that take us. These are the gaps that take us from one step of the journey to the next. And as I said last week and all the week before, I continue to say this week, doesn't make a difference where you're at. The good thing is you're on the journey, okay? The good thing is you're on the journey. So don't discourage if you see yourself, man, I'm just right there beginning the God, and I need to be over here. That's all right. You're in a good spot today. You're in a place that's going to challenge you to grow. It's going to help you to grow. But the main thing is, are you staying alive on your journey? Last week I mentioned this as well, that I know people who have been God-centered in their life that have been really a long ways in their journey but have taken steps back, and they've gone from being God-centered to be maybe close to God, even maybe closer to the beginning than God, because of the lack of staying centered on giving their life away to God. That we can't lose it. We don't achieve and stay there, but it's a constant in our journey. It's a constant thing in our journey of growth, of learning to get to the place that God has us to be at. Let's pick it back up in the story we've been looking at, and as Jesus talked about this parable of the sower, which really fits these four categories very well. We've been looking at the different things that this sower did and things that were given back. So let's pick it up in Mark chapter 4. Let's read it today. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell upon the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell upon the stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. So we're looking. These are the attacks of Satan. What is Satan's plan to keep me from growing in my journey? It's laid out right here. Jesus laid it out in this parable. We talked about it earlier when Jesus said, if you don't know this parable, if you don't understand this parable, how can you understand everything else? He said, how can you understand the other parables if you don't understand this parable? This is a very important key to understanding the parables, understanding the teachings of Christ, is getting this in our heart of realizing what Jesus was saying in this parable. What he was saying was this. This is Satan's plan. This is God's plan. Satan's got a plan for your life. God's got a plan for your life. And so we have to be wise of realizing what is Satan's plan. And so we've been outlining it. First thing we talked about was the birds of the air that came and devoured it. That Satan is like the birds of the air. And they come and he wants to snatch away, take away the word that's being put in your heart by the word of the Lord. When you hear it through preaching or teaching or you're reading it, Satan wants to come and snatch that out. He'll tell you this. He'll tell you, he's preaching to them. He's not preaching to you. You ever had those Sundays? He's preaching to my wife, but he's not preaching to me. They really need to hear that. Wish my family was here. They really need that. I don't need this, but they need that. We can always think about three coworkers that really need to hear the message every Sunday. But it's really easy to say that's for somebody else and not for me. And Satan wants to get you distracted when the word's being taught to me. You're thinking right now, boy, I would love to be sledding down the hill right now with my kids, having some warm cocoa. You know, my mind will go 1,000 places already. And so if we're not careful, Satan comes and tries to distract and take away the word that God's trying to put in the heart. And he said, be careful, the birds of the air come and they devour it. Then he says also, be careful, there's no depth there. He's talking about the word of God. Where the word of God takes no root in a person's life, that's where they're excited about what God's word's saying. They're excited about what's being preached. They're excited about the scripture they read. That's an awesome thing. I'm learning this. This is awesome. But because they have not put it to test in their life, because they're not applying it, allowing that root to grow strong in the Lord, that when trials and tribulations come in their life, and it's not if they do, it's when they do, because they all do, when the heat gets turned on, it's those things wither away. They blow away because there's no depth to them. And so he's been warning us. Satan wants to come and get the people who are not strong in their depth in the Lord, and he wants to yank them away and pull them away. And so we know that's another one of his tricks. Today we're going to talk about the trick of thorns. That some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and they choked it. Now, first of all, we know Jesus said this. He says, I have not done anything I have not seen my Father do. This is what Jesus says. I don't teach you anything. I don't do anything that I have not seen the Father do. And so, as Jesus is teaching in parables today, does God teach in parables? Does God teach in parables? That's a question to ask. Has he really thought about that? Does God really teach in parables? I would say to you this, that really, the majority of the whole Bible really is one big parable, that they all collate and they lead. And God was speaking in the Old Testament about the New Testament, and the New Testament is confirming the Old Testament. And they're all, it's really done in storybook fashion, and it's done, and things that he says when Jesus was talking were not what we think they are. We think about the birds of the air coming to devour, and we're thinking of, you know, is that really Satan, or is it just talking about some crazy bird that likes to take the seed, you know? Should they put a scarecrow out there? What should they do, you know? And we talk about no death, you know, and the thorns. We really sometimes have a hard time. What is God really saying here? Is he really saying what he means? Or is this really, Pastor, are you trying to interpret something that's not there? Are you trying to see Satan behind every dark corner and try to scare us and say, this is what Satan's trying to do, when really it's just a thorn bush? Let's look at the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says. The Bible will speak for itself. The Bible will prove itself. And today I want to teach you on studying the Word of God. This is how we become deaf. This is how we learn the Word of God. This is how we grow and cross that bridge. So let's take a word study today and look at some of these words and look them out and study them out and see what it says. Look at Revelations 18, 1 through 2. It's talking about birds of the air as well. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having a great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Now, let me tell you something. When we see Scripture talking about Babylon, there's two cities that are really talked about the most in Scripture. It's Jerusalem and Babylon. When we hear Jerusalem being talked about, that's representation of the body of Christ, that the church of God, that we are the body of Christ, the new Jerusalem. When he's speaking about Jerusalem, we can apply that to our life, that he's speaking about a godly city, a godly people. When we hear the word Babylon, this is where we know that King Nebuchadnezzar erected the idol. It was a city of rebellion. It was a city of idol worship. And the Bible often, many times, refers to Babylon as the city of rebellion. So when he's talking about Satan and the spirit of rebellion, what's he talking about? He's talking about a place of Satan. So when he talks about Babylon, he's talking about a place of Satan. He's not talking about the actual Babylon. The actual Babylon, it was established over in the Middle East. It's in Iraq. Matter of fact, we know Saddam Hussein was actually trying to rebuild and get that Babylon reestablished. And that's a whole other thing in itself, but I'm just saying that's where the physical Babylon was established. But when Scripture's talking about Babylon is fallen, he's talking about a city rebellion, Satan's demonic force. He says, Babylon is great, is fallen. Look what it says. And it has become a dwelling place of what? Of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and what? Hated bird. So when he's talking about birds, he's not just talking about, you know, all right, he's talking about demons, and he's talking about foul spirits, and he's talking about a city of rebellion, but when he talks about birds, he doesn't really mean birds. He doesn't really mean demons. He really means the birds of the air. Doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't collate with the Scripture. It doesn't collate with what he's telling, the foundation. As we read the whole Scripture out, we see that when he's talking about the hated bird, he's talking about the things that come and what? And pluck away. The demonic forces that want to come and pluck away what God has put in your heart. So we're learning what birds mean. Birds are, when he's referring to birds, he's talking about demonic spirits. He's talking about demons. These are the things that come and steal away. So where do we get the word thorns? What does thorns mean? You ever thought about that? What does thorns really mean? Well, before we can understand what thorns mean, we first got to understand what scorpions means, so I can understand, because I can translate to you what thorns mean. So I want you to look at what scorpions mean in Scripture. Let's look at what Luke 10:17 says right here. Then the 70 returned with joy. Jesus said, send them all out to do the work of ministry, and they came back with what it says. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even what? The demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, they came back to Jesus. You wouldn't believe this. We went out to pray for people, and even the demons are subject to you. And Jesus didn't say, really? He didn't say that. You know, Jesus' response was, really? Wow, I didn't know that. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are they shaking? You know, what was his response? When they asked him and told him, Jesus, even the demons are subject to your name, look at his response. I love his response. Can you just imagine Jesus saying, yeah, let me tell you this. I saw Satan get his rear kicked out of heaven and fall like lightning. So that's nothing. Yeah, I saw my dad kick Satan's tail. Boom. So that's what he's saying. He goes, and behold, I give you authority over serpents. Where are serpents mentioned in the Bible? Where first hear serpents mentioned in the Bible, huh? In the garden, right, Genesis. Satan first appeared as a what? As a serpent and scorpion. So when we see the word serpent and scorpions, we know what? It can be correlated to Satan, the demons, evil spirits. So when he's telling the story, he's mentioning these things over in the Scripture. We see where these things are mentioned in the Scripture. He's not talking about a literal scorpions or serpents here. And we see even, this is how we've seen some occults that even have formed, and they take these words literally out of context, and they want to bring snakes in the church. You see those wild people, okay? That's not us, okay? So if you're visiting today, please, we're not going to bring out serpents or snakes. We've seen some of those crazy people on TV, though, that have done that. They're taking these things out of context, and they try to take these things. And this is not what Scripture's talking about at all. He's referring to types of the enemy, the Satan. And so we see where scorpions are used as what? As a type of Satan. So in that, we know, as we read the next Scripture in Ezekiel 2:3-6, look what this Scripture says. And he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. Now, this is Ezekiel. God speaking to Ezekiel about going and preaching his word. He says, I send you to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. they and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. The briars and what? Thorns are with you, and you dwell among what? Scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. So in the same conversation that God is speaking to Ezekiel about go out, he's warning him of what? First of all, of rebellion. The rebellious nation. Rebellion. What does Scripture say is the spirit of rebellion? It says what? Witchcraft. Scripture says that the spirit of rebellion is of witchcraft. It's the same thing, that spirit of rebellion is the same spirit of witchcraft. And so we see this rebellious nation, an evil nation that is rebelling their heart. What is happening there? He said, don't be afraid, because thorns and scorpions will be there. So when Scripture talks about thorns, it's also put them in the same phrase as the scorpions. So what's he talking about? Is he talking about real thorns and scorpions? So that means when he's teaching, be careful where you stand, because you might rip your shirt on the thorns. Be careful, don't wear your open-toed sandals, because you might. Don't wear open-toed sandals. You might get stung by a scorpion. That's not what he was trying to say. He was warning him of the demonic presence, that, listen, when you go, there's a rebellious nation. There is demons. There is an attack of the birds of the air. It's attack of the thorns, the scorpions. Realizing this, that you're under attack. And so, we're learning, what does thorns really mean? Thorns is another example of a demonic activity of Satan. Birds, no root. Now we see thorns as another example how Satan comes to choke out, to get us. And we're going to talk about more about this. What does it talk about? Revelation 9 says this, that scorpions cannot harm any trees with the seal. This is not on our overhead, but in Revelation, we see in the book of Revelation that it says that scorpions cannot harm any tree with the seal. And in the end days, when the scorpion is going to be released, end time prophecy, it talks about how scorpions are going to be released, and they're going to come out and it's going to destroy the earth. And it talks about a few things it cannot destroy. One of the things that it does not have the authority to destroy was the trees that had the seal on them, the seal of God. And so how's that fall? Psalms chapter 1 says that you and I are what? It said the person who delights in the Lord, those who meditate upon the law, they shall be as a what? As a tree. Tree planted by the rivers of water, man. So we are those who meditate on God's word. Those who are Christians who have death to them, they are like a tree planted by the water. And so when scorpions come in the end time, they cannot touch those who have been a tree that have God's seal. You see how the correlation is working out, how the word association flows throughout Scripture. You say, Pastor, how is that possible? How is that possible? Let me tell you how it's possible that these words can flow out the Scripture, because the same guy wrote it. Our Father wrote it. Every breath, every word is inspired by the Word of God. And even though it may be Old Testament, New Testament, maybe He spoke it to different men and women to write down, what happens? What happens? It's the same God inspiring it and using it. And He teaches in ways that we can understand. He uses parables. He uses stories. He uses things, examples that we can use and remember. And so this is how God teaches us. This is how we learn the Word of God, by doing study. We're trying to teach that we have to learn the Word of God, and to go from being a person of elementary and your knowledge of the Word of God to a person who is able to say, you know what, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to take God's words. We talked about last week, the sword of the Word, and do battle. I've got to be armed with some knowledge. All right, I'm realizing that thorns are coming my way, that the birds of the air. I'm realizing the scorpions. I'm realizing that rebellious, all these things are coming against me, so you may be ready to fight. Don't be ignorant, thinking, you know what, my whole life I'm just going to have to go and not have to fight anybody spiritually. No, man, Satan is after you. He is after you. He wants to snatch what God is doing in your heart. And so I've got to realize this is Satan's plan for my life, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And God's plan is what? God's plan is always that I have something to fight with. God says, I am more than victorious. I will overcome by the power of my testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. I shall overcome. None of these things shall harm me. None of these things shall take me. None of these things we're talking about shall come and do anything bad against me if I allow the weapon of the Lord to be my battle. See, so I've got to be smart. What's Satan's plan? Is to send these things. Jesus is telling us ahead of time, listen, you're going to be attacked. These things, everywhere you turn, these things are going to come. Satan wants to take away these things from you. but I give you the sword to fight with. Be strong. Be courageous. God's Spirit wants us to have the sword of the Spirit. And that comes through what? Through a learning, through a knowledge of the Word of God. I've got to know the Word of God if I'm going to use it. I've got to know this Word of God. I've got to have an understanding of it beyond just that Jesus loves me. This I know. And the Bible tells me so. You know, I got to have a knowledge that goes beyond that at some point. That's okay that I know that it's by grace. And I have an understanding it's by grace. I'm saved. And it's something I can do by my works. And I have that knowledge. But at some point, I got to learn to grow, get out of preschool and elementary school and say, you know what? I got to begin to take on more of the Word of God in my life. I got to understand God's will for my life. And it comes through a studying. And so how do we do this? I'm just kind of teaching you right there. You go to the back of your Bible. You have a thing in there that has all these words in the very end, the index, you know, and you can take different concordances there and you can find words. You can go online nowadays, man. It's really easy. You used to have to go and purchase a bunch of expensive books to get all this. Now you can go online and get most of this for free. You can Google these things and find out information about word association, words of the Bible to talk about scorpions, and boom, you can pull up all the verses in the Bible to talk about scorpions. You can go through and look at that and study. Oh, this tells birds of the air. I can go and Google and pull up all the scriptures about birds of the air and look at this and find out what does it talk about. Boy, this talks about it in Psalms. It talks about it over here in the New Testament. It talks about it in the Old Testament. And each time it has association with darkness and the prince of darkness. I can understand this is what God's talking about when I read these things. And so, see, what are you doing, Pastor? I'm teaching you to fish. That's what I'm doing. I'm teaching you how to fish. You know, how many know that if I fish for you and bring you a fish, that's good. But when you learn to fish for yourself, boy, that's a powerful thing. And so what I'm teaching you is how do we learn to grow in the Word of God? Is I got to learn to really dissect this Word. God, I got to look at it. I have an understanding. The Holy Spirit will reveal the Word of God to you if you ask. Do you realize that? As a Christian, I can pray, God, may your Spirit come alive to me today. May I read the Word of God and I have an understanding. I tell you, there's things that even now that I read that are coming alive to me for the first time. As much as I've read the Bible and I've studied and I've preached over so many of the chapters and verses in the Bible, as I look at that, I realize this, that there's new things that the Holy Spirit brings to me all the time. And so I am called, we have what? My weapon. My weapon. Do you realize that he talks about here, it says the messenger. Look what it says, go back to I haven't got to that. I wonder why. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12:7. Let's read it. It says, and at least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. Look what it says. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. What was Paul saying? He's saying, I have a thorn in the flesh, man. It was given to me by who? A messenger of Satan. The word messenger translates to the word angel. We know it's an angel's. How many know that Satan has angels? Do you know that? Satan has angels. It's not the only God had angels. Yeah, he did. And he kicked a third of them out of the heaven with Satan. They were trying to back Satan. And so when Satan fell like lightning, the Word of God says a third of the angels of heaven also followed him. So Satan has angels as well. And so no wonder they're called birds of the air. No wonder they're called scorpions. No wonder they're called thorns. He has his demonic powers as well that he is trying to attach to you. Look what it says here. Paul says, a thorn of the flesh was given to me by an angel of Satan. And so we know this, that we are under attack. You've got to be ready and know that I've got to be ready for battle. We realize this in the Old Testament. When we're talking about battles in the Old Testament, they're always talking about literal battles. You see how Jerusalem was fighting, how the different cities came against, and David led the cities to war, and all these things we see over and over again with Gideon. That there was actually literal battles going on. In the Old Testament, we read about these battles. It also correlates to spiritual battles. We can read it and realize that when God was doing in the natural through a literal battle, he was also trying to teach us in a spiritual battle. And the New Testament's all about the spiritual battle. So the Old Testament is about the physical battles, and the New Testament is about the spiritual battles. And we understand that and realize that ultimately we are in a what? Spiritual war. A spiritual battle. So when I read the Old Testament, I realize they're battling physically there, but also God is trying to teach us what's going on in the spiritual. When I read the New Testament about spiritual battles, that what? There's a battle going on spiritually for my life. It's all right, because God is not going to leave me. God's not going to forsake me. God's going to empower me. He has given me everything I need to succeed. He's given me everything I need to overcome Satan in my life. And so I don't have to be scared around every corner thinking, Satan's ready to attack me, man. He's going to kill me. Satan, no. As a Christian, we have authority over these things. As a Christian, we have authority over these things, but we must learn to grow in our journey and say, God, I'm going to grow up, and I'm going to be a person who's close to God. I'm going to be a person who's close to God because why? Because I want to be close to his armor. Oh, come on. You know, how many know, where do they keep the best armor in a battle? The higher up you go, they got the best security, don't they? How many would love to have the president's Secret Service guarding you? Or would you rather go down here to telecom and have their security guard you if you're in a life and death situation? Which one would you rather have? Huh? No, I want the best of the best. If I'm in Iraq, I want to be riding around the Jeep with the 5-star general. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to go out with the guy who just got there. You know? I'm going to go with the person they're going to protect, you know. So that's the same way. The closer I get to God, I'm closer to his armor. I'm closer to protection with him. I'm closer to his things. It's the closer I get to the Lord. This is why it's important that I grow up. This is why it's important that I keep this on so I don't cut myself. My wife warned me, please don't cut yourself, honey. That's all right. I put a hole in the speaker last week, and so we'll see. So let's look at this as we clearly close here in a few minutes. Let's look at these next scripture. Numbers 33 and 35. Look what it says. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and what? Thorns in your sides. And they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Now we see where they're talking about the promised land here. The children of Israel have been given a promised land. Now when we talk about the promised land in scripture, it's not talking about heaven, okay? Promised land is the place that God wants us to live in right now today. And how do you know that? Because the promised land, there is no enemies there. There's no enemies in heaven, okay? But there are enemies on today's earth. And so it talks about the inhabitants of the land before you. We've got to drive them out. I thought this is such a good thing as we're looking at this scripture and learning about thorns and learning about Old Testament, New Testament, what it means. We're studying that scripture, learning to study. What's it saying? That we got to learn not only to drive out the inhabitants, it was teaching them physically they had to drive out their enemy, but he's talking to you and I that if we don't take time to drive out our inhabitants and allow things to remain there, those who we let remain shall what? They shall be irritating to our eyes and there will be thorns in our sides. That means this, that I got to take charge of my land that God has given me. I got to take authority over my home. I got to take authority over my family. I got to take authority over my body. I got to take authority over my marriage. I got to take authority over my family. I got to take authority there. There's a place that God wants you to inhabit, and I've got to drive out the things that are trying to attach themselves there. So I can go and I can just say, well, I guess it'll never be any better than this. My marriage will never get any better than what it is right now. Oh, that thorn hurts right there, honey. Wow, I'll never get any better in finance. My finances are always going to be terrible. I'm never going to get out of debt. Man, I'm never going to have any new friends. God's never going to use me. My children are never going to serve God the way they should. No, I'll get up and say, God, your word says that if I train up a child in the way it should go, that when it's old, they will not depart from you. I claim that promise for my land. Satan, you have no hold here. There's no fear in my home. There's no fear in my finances. I'm taking authority. I'm driving out the enemy from my home. I'm not going to live in depression. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to allow thorns to come and choke out what God's word says that I can have the best. God's word says that I can walk in power. God's word says I am victorious. God's word says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And so as I take these things into authority, I'm driving out the inhabitants. And I'm not allowing the thorns to come and choke out what God's trying to do in my life. Understanding Scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it all flows together. I've got to read. I see where thorns are talked about in the parable. And I go up and look at word study of thorns. And all of a sudden I'm finding out all these things about thorns in Scripture. We're teaching how do we study Scripture. This is how we grow. This is how we mature. As we're learning to study the Word of God. Learning our place in authority. Mark 4:18. This is Jesus' response now. First of all, he gives the parable about the person who, what? He throws it out, the thorns come up to choke it out. Now Jesus is giving the interpretation, telling us what this actually means. He says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and what happens? The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things enter and choke the word. And it becomes what? Unfruitful. We see these three things are really is what thorns represent according to this parable as well. This is the place that Satan really wants to come and choke out what God's doing in our life. This is how Satan enters our life and tries to allow thorns to take us away. First of all, we look at number one here, the cares. He comes and takes the cares of the world and tries to place them on you and choke out what God's trying to do. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he what? Cares for you. How many know that we are not called to carry our own cares? Now, there's a statement we say all the time, and really, if you really think about it, it's not a very good statement. The statement we say all the time is, take care. And of course, we know what you're meaning. We're meaning to be careful. There's nothing wrong with that, but if you really think about it, I don't want to take care. I don't want to take your cares. I want to give my cares to God. As a Christian, I want to give my cares to God. We're called to what? Cast our cares upon him, for he cares for you. So this is what we do. Come here, Carlos. You always play good God. Sit here on your throne right here in the middle. So we walk in carrying our cares to the Lord, from the Lord. God, this thing, I'm tired of carrying these cares. Have a seat, Carlos, on your throne. You're on the throne, okay? You're on the throne. And so we carry our burdens, and we have a good service. We're worshiping the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is such a good, oh, God, I'm going to give you my cares. God, this thing's really been burdening me down. I've been worried about this thing, this problem in my life. God, it's really, oh, I've got to give it to you, Lord. And we give it to the Lord. And we're like, oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just casted all my cares upon the Lord. I feel so much better. Hallelujah. I mean, we're just, oh, feeling so good. And we leave church. We're like, man, I just gave it all to God. I just gave my cares to the Lord. Hallelujah. We feel so much brighter. So much better. And what happens? We go home, we get on Facebook. I just gave it all away to the Lord today. Hallelujah. Everybody say, amen, amen. Oh, that's good to hear. Keep on going. Praise the Lord. Then what happens Monday morning when we get up? Well, God, aren't you going to do anything with that? God, why haven't you done anything yet? Well, God, what are you doing? God, why haven't you done anything? Give it to me, God. You're not doing it. You're going to sit there and not do anything. It's Monday morning already. You still haven't done anything about this care. And I pick it back up, and I take it with me back to work. And see, this is how the thorns come and enter our life, that we continue to take the cares of the world. We take the cares. We're always called to give to the Lord. We cast our cares upon the Lord because he wants to carry them. This is how we grow in the Lord, that I have things in my life that I care about, things that are burdening me down, things that worry me, but I'm called to give them to the Lord and to walk away and to trust him. Not to pick those back up tomorrow morning and get up and, oh, what's going to happen with that, you know? I'm so living a nervous wreck. I'm on the brink of a nervous breakdown because of these cares. And we're giving room for the thorns to come in and choke out what God's really wanting to do in our life. God's wanting you to have a big testimony that, you know, you gave those cares to the Lord and he took care of them. And you can have a testimony later on in the road. You know what? I gave my cares to the Lord. And it worked itself out. And God did a miraculous thing in my life. God did a miracle in my life. It becomes a testimony. It becomes a thing of encouragement. But God never wanted us to come and take them back from him. We give it to him and leave them there. Thanks, Carlos. Learn to give our cares. And our last point today, I put these last two things together because they really go hand in hand. We talk about choking out the thorns and how do we get past these thorns in our life. What's number two? Deceitfulness of riches and things. Deceitfulness of riches and things. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be what? In God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, but people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. So this is what he's talking about, the thorns. He talks about the cares of this world, and he talks about basically our desire for riches, our desire for lust in our life. And this really covers a lot of different things. Now, first of all, we realize this, that first of all, look what it says here, that their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for what? Our enjoyment. So first of all, God wants you to enjoy things. God is never a God. He's not a killjoy. He wants you to have nice things. He wants you to be blessed. He wants to bless you. We see this in Scripture as well. I've talked about it. But the balance of what he's saying is he never wants us to what? To put our trust in the things. Our trust is always called to be upon him. And what happens is we put our trust in how much money we have in the bank. We put our trust in the economy. We put our trust in the stock market. We put our trust in our job. And we get so stressed and we love those things so much that we allow the thorns to come and choke us out. God, your word says, God, you're telling me to give. God, you're calling me to give. God, you want me to do something. But God, I know I can't trust her because this is not a good time to give, God. This stock market's not good. My job, I don't know what's going to happen next month with my job. So I don't want to pay my tithes today because, I mean, I have a job next week and I may need that money. And the thorns are coming and trying to stop out the blessing God has for your life. He says this, don't trust in their money. Don't trust. It should be what? A trust should be in God. The person who is being God-centered, the person who's taking that journey to being God-centered, their trust is in the Lord. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation. Now, it doesn't say people who long to do better for themselves, people who want to have put their kids through college, hopefully pay their braces for their kids one day and get through that, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with those who want to drive a nice car and live in a nice home. He never says anything wrong with that at all. But he says the people who long to be rich, they fall into temptation by many foolish and harmful desires. What he's talking about is basically a lust. It translates to lust. The harmful effect is the lust of, I've got to have more. 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 And our desires, it's never good enough. And how many know it really isn't? How many remember the home we moved into the first time you moved into? Oh, thank you, Lord. It's all the home I'm going to need. You know, I remember the first house we got. Man, we were just renting this house. It was already the size of the house I grew up in. I was like, I've already got a house as big as the one I grew up in. It's good. This is good, you know. And I remember walking through our house now, like, well, this is such a big house. We'll never need a bigger house than this. God, thank you. You know, we'll never want another house, you know. And now you're like, well, you walk by a newsstand, you see houses for sale. You're looking, I wonder what's for sale. I wonder what we could get out of our house. We just never are satisfied. We get a new car, and then the next thing we know, we're looking at other new cars 6 months later, aren't we? I mean, really, we like those things, but if we're not careful, we're always desiring the new thing, the better thing. And this is what God's saying. This is a trap. This is how thorns enter our life because we lust over other things. God, there's another husband out there. He's got to treat me a lot better than what my husband does. And so we desire and we lust that different relationship. There's another, somebody else is going to love me better. They're going to understand me more. And Satan comes and tells you this lie, and he wants you lusting that for somebody else. Oh, you know I'm preaching to myself, right? No one else here today. Okay. Of course, I know it's hard for you to realize my wife having those thoughts about me because, you know. But anyway, other than that, this is for everybody else, like I said. But if we're not careful, this is how Satan comes in. The thorns come in. There's somebody else better for you. Somebody else will love you more. Somebody else will understand you better. Somebody else will give you a bigger house. If you just work on Sundays, you can make more money and you can buy another house. All these things come in and Satan is trying to bring thorns to choke out what God's doing. And he said, this is what thorns represent. The cares of the world, those cares, don't give them to God. And basically a lust and desire for the riches, for things. And it's not that things are bad in themselves, but it's the love of them that we trust more in God. He wants us to trust more in him. He wants us to trust more in what he can do in our life. This is what it's talking about. Growing in God, growing in who he is. We're going to close today. And as we do, we realize this, that God created us to have passion. You realize that God created us to have passion. But Satan wants to do what? He wants to turn our passion into lust. He wants to turn our passion for things, our passion for promotion, our passion to work hard, and he wants to take those things and turn them into lust. That you, I got to make more money, I got to do this, and I got to get more things. And he wants to take that lust, and I can find somebody else better. I can find somebody who's going to love me more. All these things happen, and desires come in. And he also takes that passion that God gave you there, and he wants to turn it to lust. That's how thorns come in and chokes out, and it keeps us from growing and becoming the people God wants us to be. I had someone ask me one time, they said, Pastor, I really want just more God in my life. I want more passion, but I keep having all these thoughts. as I'm having these thoughts in my head, and I can't get rid of these thoughts in my head, I keep having this just lustful thoughts about things and people. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me really clear. He said, I want you to pray for this person. This is what I want you to tell them. I want you to pray and tell them that if they will increase their passion for God, it will decrease their passion for other things. Just something the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I prayed for that person. I said, God, I pray that you would give them a love for you and a passion for you like you've never had before. That their heart's desire would be to please you, that they would fall so much in love with you that everything else would begin to fade in their heart. And you know, I think it's so true in our life that we're all about natural lust. We've all got natural things we want. But when we allow the passion of God to rise in our heart and say, I want to please the Lord. I want to be a person God-centered. I want to do these things with what the Lord's told me to do. I want to be a person that's close to God. I want to allow His Word to come alive in my heart. And I put more of God in my life, put more of His Word in my life. What happens? I drive out the other things in my heart. Today, I want you just to watch a short song, short video, and I want you to think, I want God's Word to come alive in my heart as I'm growing to become a person God-centered. We're going to watch a short video, then we're going to close with a word of prayer. But today, I want you to pray this prayer as you hear the song. Like, I want God's Word to speak to me, to grow me, that I can become a person with a weapon.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Stand to our feet this morning. As we stand today, I just pray that we allow God's Word to challenge today. Say, Pastor, I've got to learn to study. I've got to learn to get into God's Word so I can have the weapons. I want to be close to God so I can have the weapons to cut away the thorns, to fight off the birds of the air, the scorpions. basically what he's saying is that, man, they're going to attack you. His angels, demonic, they're going to attack you. They do not want you to grow in God. That's what his plan is. Jesus was teaching us the plan of Satan is to steal, to kill, and destroy. We see it throughout Scripture, and it's very, very strong in this story, in this parable. But we thank God because he's given us every weapon we need to defeat him, to overcome, to grow, to mature in our journey with the Lord. And that's my prayer today, that you say, Pastor, I want to become a person who's close to the Lord. I want to take the foundation of learning to be close to the Lord, learning what his word says about my life. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone here today. And I just pray and thank you that your word, it's a light. It's a light into our path. Directing us, God. Directing us in the way we need to go. We thank you, Father, that you have not left us alone, but God, you've given us every weapon we need, every spiritual weapon we need. And God, those things are revealed to us as we draw close to you, drawing close to your word. Learn to be people who will study your word and to meditate on your law. They become people with roots, who are strong trees, that when the enemy comes to attack, that they can't take away the passion God has put inside of our life, because our foundation is strong in you. I pray that your word become alive to us, God. I pray that for every person here, God, there would be a new hunger for a relationship with you like we've never had before. And we replace, God, any selfish lust we may have with the lust of wanting to know you more, of wanting to be close to you more. God, I pray right now, Father, that you would draw us close to you. May we be people who long to be close to you, knowing what your word says and applying it to our life, that we may please our Father. We thank you today, and we say together, amen. Amen. God bless you again today. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being faithful and making an effort to be here today. Shake a few hands and hug a few necks before you leave. You guys have to be careful on your way home.